So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And welcome, everybody. It's Dan. Hope you're well. So today's not Wednesday. Today's Thursday. I know we're supposed to be live every Wednesday, but we're not. I was rammed yesterday. What can you do? Just didn't have time to fit it in today. And we're supposed to go live at 12, and it's nowhere near 12 o'clock today either. What can you do? But anyway, look, welcome to the Property Cashflow Show. My name's Dan Latta. Hope you're well today. And in today's session, I want to talk to you about whether buy-to-let or is dead. Or not. And I don't think it is, although I am exasperated with the state of the market right now. Specifically, I'm frustrated with our inability to get properties rented out. We've had a two-bed available for what seems like ages, and we've had, well, it's been 5 weeks empty, and we've had another one bed, and that's been about 4 weeks empty, and we've dropped the pricing. You know, the two beds, a grade two listed penthouse, £750. And let me just see how many tenants we've actually gone through so far. Let me just have a look here. Tenant inquiries. So on the two bed, we've had 48 inquiries. And on the one bed, we've had 49 inquiries. That's 97 inquiries. And out of those, we've had probably six viewings. Out of those six viewings, not one single tenant was an appropriate tenant, shall we say. And we've had all sorts of different tenants. We get loads of people. I just rejected one at the moment, and he loves the apartment, wants to put a deposit down. Great. When do you want to move? May. Dude, it's February. Shall I just leave it empty for you till you can find the time to move into my flat? Is that what you want to do? So very frustrating right now dealing with tenants, but what can you do? So it's a COVID thing. That's all it happens to be. But maybe it might not be a COVID thing. Maybe it's a Brexit thing. Who on earth knows? We will find out once we get rid of COVID, and then maybe it's a Brexit thing and all the people from Poland and, you know, Eastern Europe, maybe they've all just gone back. But look, is this going to affect the way that we invest in our properties, or are we going to buy more? Are we going to buy less? So let's talk about that. And that's specifically what I want to cover today. So buy-to-let, I do not think is dead right now. I think buy-to-let still got plenty of legs left in it. There are lots of people who are considering packing up buy-to-let as landlords and never doing it again. And that's wonderful news for the rest of us who are going to stay as landlords. I've been a landlord now for 22 years. And I have moments where I go, right, that's it. I've had enough. I'm giving it all up. Let's just sell it all. Let's buy some shares. Let's move to Spain. Oh, no, we live in Spain. Let's move back to England. Let's never do anything. Let's live off dividends. No more tenants. No more dickheads. No more having to go around because someone can't change a light bulb and so on. So I have moments like that. And, you know, it's tempting. Honestly, it's really tempting. But there's nothing like waking up on a morning and seeing more money coming into the account. There's nothing like getting to the first of each month knowing that all of your bills for the rest of the month ahead are already paid, and yet there is still more money that's due to come in. It's one of the best feelings ever. And if I could kind of bottle it up and give it to you so you can dab it on yourself and feel what that feels like, you would also be going heavier into buy to let. Sure, there are problems. There are councils. There is the valuations office charging council tax because you happen to give your tenant an ensuite. How dare you give a tenant an ensuite? You give a tenant the means to bath themselves and clean their teeth? How dare you? You shall be charged extra council tax for that. There are all those people. There are tenants who damage properties purposefully, who don't pay rent despite having enough money, and then blame you. All of that happens, and it will continue to happen until I'm long dead and buried in 100 years' time. But is that enough to stop me from going out and buying more properties? It's honestly not. Because the benefit far outweighs the dickhead tenant And we have a no dickhead clause, by the way. It's not actually written into the tenancy agreement because I think we'll probably get into a little bit of trouble with that. But we have a no dickhead clause, and it's also three strikes and you're out. We have that as a clause. Well, it's not a clause. It's my mental clause. We have that in my mental tenancy agreement as well. So if you're a bit of an idiot, you'll be gone out of our properties because life's too short to deal with you. Honestly, I just don't even want to. Well, maybe it's not their fault. It's not my fault either, so jog on. So we have that built into our tenancies. And, you know, when we do rent a property out, our tenants stay for 6, 7, 8. Our longest one's been in for like 15 years. They stay for an awful long time. And so although we've got two properties empty right now, another one coming up empty at the end of this month, and it's a short month, so it's the 25th today, so in 3 or 4 days they'll be moving out as well. I would much rather keep those properties empty than have a potential idiot tenant put into it who I can then not evict. And so we're in COVID and it's just a bump in the middle of the road. And that's what we're going through right now. And I think it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get exasperated with the situation. It's easy to get upset about the fact that a tenant is staying in your property and you can't evict them for another God knows how long. I mean, it's 2022, I think, before you'll be evicting tenants, like through the courts and bailiffs and so on. And we're only in February. That's another 10 months. And I get how frustrating that is. But I think that if you can look at the bigger picture and see that as we move forward through time, COVID is going to release. Brexit will settle down. It's all over the place right now, but that will settle down. And in fact, we're not even talking about Brexit anywhere near as much because COVID is just taking all the headlines. We can't even get to a pub until June, is it, for pints in your pub? I mean, I'm in Spain here and the restaurants are closed and they open up on Monday, hopefully. So I'm off for a pint on Monday. And I won't go live during that pint because it will just upset too many people who can't have a pint in a pub or a bar or whatever. So even McDonald's, by the way, serves pints here. For euro as well. Imagine that in the UK. Imagine all the drunk kids in McDonald's having a pint for euro. So, and it's not a pint because we're metric here, not imperial. So back to buy to let. So what's the plan? For me personally, I probably am not going to be buying more properties in the UK, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't. You shouldn't be buying either. The reason I'm not buying in the UK is that I've made a decision to buy more properties here in Spain. I now live in euros. I want to get paid in euros. Currently, I get paid in pounds and I have to convert them over to euros. And that's fine. It doesn't cost that much. I use TransferWise. You made a stupid idea of changing its name to being called Wise, which is just a bizarre idea. But for me personally, I'm going to start buying up properties here in Spain. 50 grand, 400 euros a month. That's the income. That's how much it will cost me. They're nice little properties. In Spain, the rules are obviously different and the harder. You can't evict people in Spain. It's much, much harder. But we're local and we'll build relationships and we'll work on that a little bit more. But also, as a foreigner, as I am now classed, it is going to be much harder for me to get finance to finance mortgages on properties in the UK. Plus, in addition to that, when stamp duty gets charged again, and stamp duty has just been extended again for another 6 months, I think it is. Once stamp duty comes back through, I will not only be charged the stamp duty on the house, I will not only be charged the extra 3% because I'm a second homeowner, classed as second homeowner, I will then be charged, I think it's an extra 2% because I'm a foreign investor, even though I'm clearly a northerner, which is kind of foreign, I suppose, to some people. So that's the issue that I've got with investing in properties in the United Kingdom. So that's why I'm personally buying properties here. That all said, the properties that I have in the United Kingdom, I'm going to stick with those. And in fact, we're making a real effort now to start paying down some of those mortgages to get mortgage free. So that, you know, I'm 48. As we move forward into the next 10, 12, 15 years, we want as much of that debt sold off, and then we're probably going to sell off the rest of the property where we haven't paid down the debt. The profits from that will pay off the other debt, and then we're clear and free and clear from the age of 60 onwards. So that's kind of a plan right there. Now, having said that's the plan, you know, if I went out and won the lottery and won £5 million, would I pay off my debt of properties, or would I just go and buy 5 million quid's worth of more property? And yes, I would probably go buy 5 million pounds worth of more property, because it's not the debt that is the issue. It's the cash flow, and it's the monthly mortgage going out, which I can no longer offset against my property income, which is obviously a big change through Section 24. This is also one of the reasons why more landlords are leaving the sector. And when landlords leave the sector, there's less property available. Assuming there's still the same number of tenants, which there isn't, I'll talk about that in a second, but assuming the same number of tenants, it means that rents have to go up, because, you know, supply and demand, there's less properties being made available. The demand is still the same. The same tenants are chasing and climbing over each other in order to rent that one property. Now, in the olden days, and the good old days before COVID, we'd put this one bed on and we were getting 695 for it. We were going to put it up to 725. It's down at 550. We can't rent the damn thing. We would even at 695, we would have had tenants clambering over each other. We would often rent it on the first viewing. That's not happening right now, but that's a COVID thing, and that thing hopefully will pass. But there's this little je ne sais quoi that we're not quite sure about right now, and this is the effect that Brexit is having on tenants, because a lot of tenants. So if you think about it like a pyramid, you've got people at the bottom who are on lower incomes and people at the top who are on higher incomes. So what happens is all the people at the bottom, which is people coming in from Far East, working in McDonald's on those minimum wage jobs, they're the people who tend to rent a lot. So they've gone potentially. So what happens is that it trickles down. So it like Tetris, you know, when you fill a row and the line disappears. So that £500 a month is now down to £400 a month. So that means the £600 a month is down to £500 a month. The £700 a month is down to £600 a month. And so there's a drop in rents right now. And I actually think that this could be a Brexit thing, not a COVID thing. However, when COVID first had an outbreak, a lot of people also went back home because they didn't want to get caught out in a foreign country. We almost had the risk last March of flying into the UK, and we made the decision not to do it because we were worried that we wouldn't be able to get back to our house, which is here in Spain, so kind of vice versa. But I think a lot of tenants actually went home, and so there are less tenants looking for property right now for two reasons. Number one, COVID. Some tenants have gone back home, and who the heck wants to move in a pandemic? Like, what are you doing? Wishfully thinks, you know what I'm going to do? Everyone's out of work and everyone's in furlough and everyone's living at home and not sure what's going on, and everyone's wearing masks and scared they're going to catch a disease. I'm going to move home. I don't think people are thinking that right now. I think people are actually quite worried about moving house. So I think that's why there's less movement in the marketplace. And the only reason people are moving with sales is because they removed the stamp duty threshold. So there's a big incentive for people to risk COVID if they're saving 3% on a £500,000 property, 15 grand, people are going to take that risk. And by the way, I think COVID is less of a risk if you socially distant, wash your hands and mask up. I know some people have issues with that. They need to get over it and grow up a little bit. Maybe go a bit of something to upset somebody there. But I think that with these two issues, I think COVID's going to disappear. And by September, we're not going to be back to normal, folks, by any stretch of imagination. 2022, we are not going to be back to normal. I think 2023, 24, 25, before any semblance of normality. I think masks are here to stay. I think hand washing, I think social distancing. Who on earth knows? But by September, a lot of people will be vaccinated and feeling a little bit better about life and the way that it's happening. Ed's saying mic sounds good. I've bought a new mic, everybody. Thank you, Ed. I bought a new mic, and do you like the backdrop as well? By the way, we painted this wall earlier today, and I have a little LED red light, which is really nice. So I think COVID is an issue, but I also think Brexit is an issue, and I think Brexit is a great unknown right now. We do not know what is happening with Brexit and the effect that that's had, and the reason we don't know that is because of the effect that COVID has had. So, you know what? It could be at 550. I'm looking at this apartment that I've got on for 550, and I would hate to bring this down any less than that. But I tell you what I'm thinking. 595 it's on at, so let's drop it. We'll do it live. Let's do it live while we're here. So let's drop it to 5:50. There we go. Let's just do that. I thought it was on at 5:50 already, but it's not. 5:95. The problem with dropping prices, folks, when you do this, is that the quality of tenants that you actually get is much lower. We get people on benefits. We get people who don't work. We get people who, you know, we get three people, me and my brother and my friend. We all want to stay in your one bed. It's like, but there's three people in a one bed. It's like, we wouldn't rent to that type of person in a million years because, like, the wear and tear on the apartment alone. And how long do you think they're going to last, three people in a one bed flat? And then what do you think my neighbors are going to do? They're going to complain, right? Two sides, back and above, like, and below. They're going to complain like crazy. So if you drop the prices too low, that can be an issue. But again, is this the death of buy to let? It's not the death. This is a hump, a hurdle that you're going to have to get over. And, you know, right now, getting over this hurdle, where's the two bed? I'm going to drop the price on a two bed and we're going to do that live as well. You can't see anything. I know you can't see anything, but I'm going to do it. I would rather get the property rented for something rather than nothing. And if someone gets a bargain for the next 8 to 10 months, I think that's awesome. Well done them. But for me, we want to get that stuff rented out. I don't want to leave it empty any longer than I have to. We've got another property and I'm going to drop the price on that one. But we've got another property that comes empty next week. And that is currently on at, let me find out what this is on. But this is just the state of play. This is the marketplace dictating to us what we have to do. It's on at 795, including parking. Drop that down to 750. 725. Let's just get that thing rented. That for making sure it happens. Okay, and that's done. This is the change. The marketplace dictates what we need to do as owners. And if that looks like we have to drop rents, we have to drop rents. It's not the death, it's just a hiccup. And so maybe we'll come back to this in 6 months' time when we've dropped rents to 300 and we're still in the shit trying to rent properties out, which, you know, the property before was getting £895. I've just dropped it to 725. That's crazy. And that's just crazy. But it's indicative of the two areas as to where we are right now, which is COVID and Brexit. Anyway, let me know what you guys think in the box down below, and we'll catch up with you on the next live. We're live again tomorrow on the Mindset and Hustle show. Come and join me for that, and we'll speak to you then. My name's Dan Latto. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.